faithful. I'm just thinking of the scripture for John, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. So he's free. He's free. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel like I've been fed. I don't know. You guys are great. You guys are wonderful. Bless the Lord. Wonderful fellowship. Such liberty. Such freedom in the Holy Ghost. Testimonies, prophecy, praying, singing, worshiping.
Hallelujah!
I mean, come on. That's good stuff. I don't know why there's not more people here. I don't know. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Music. Giftings of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just continue to say you are a good, good God. Amen. And you are faithful in everything. And so, Father, I pray this servant, Lord, that you will fill my mouth and bless the people. Let that living waters rise up within us, overflow. May we have ears to hear, to continue to hear, to continue to receive what you are saying this morning to us, O God, that we may leave here, O Lord, being your hands, your feet, your mouth, Lord, who you are in us, that we may be that person in the world, O God. So I pray that this morning. Bless your people. And Father, I do even ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would continue to heal, Lord. In the worship, you heal. In the preaching, in the prophetic, Lord, you heal. So heal, Lord, whether it be our bones, Lord God, our mind, Lord God, our soul, our emotions, Lord God, our finances, our marriages. I ask that you heal, and that even pain levels will continue to decrease, even as the service continues, because you are a faithful, faithful Father. And we are in your arms, oh God. So bless us, continue to bless, and pour out an anointing upon us that we would leave here more in love with you, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I have on my heart comes from a personal experience. That's the only way that I can share. I don't even know if I could call this a preaching, but I will say that it's a share. And it's coming from my own experiences, which are living, because anything we do with the Lord is living. So it's a living experience. And right now in the liturgical calendar, as I see you have your Advent wreath, the four Sundays before Christmas is a time of waiting. It's a time of anticipation. It's a time of looking for that one person. It is a time of our eyes being opened afresh as we wait for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the question is, what are we waiting for? Because we already know that Jesus has come. I don't know about you, but my mother had this tradition. And when she put the creche out early in December, that was like the first thing that was visible, poor little baby Jesus was always covered with cotton, or he wasn't there at all. And poor baby Jesus could not come until Christmas morning or 12 o'clock Christmas Eve or at midnight. And that has always, since I've become a believer, I'm thinking, you're here already, so thank God they don't cover me up until my birthday comes, you know? I mean, we celebrate our birthdays, you know? And so the question is, we know that he is here, and we know that he is within us. So the question is, in this Advent season, which I truly love, some of those liturgical things of the denominational churches, I just value, I really do value. As long as they don't lord our life and become rituals that we live by, so to speak. But they bring us into those moments of remembrances of what Christ has done for us and is doing for us. So the question is, during this time of Advent, or time of anticipation, time of waiting, what are we waiting for? I have Christ in me. You have Christ in you. Oh, my goodness, it's so evident just from this morning's service, all sharing and praying and just the good reports. I mean, you have Christ in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I'm not waiting for Christ. But I will say this, that there is a space within us that God wants to fill afresh. Amen. Or anew. Yes. Even anew. Yes. And so I have learned in my season, I've been waiting on the Lord for like 6 years. Because in the changes and in the transitions of our walking with the Lord, and I want us to know that changes and transitions in walking with the Lord is a good thing. Because I don't want to ever become dry or stale. And if it even means being stripped of certain things and just kind of saying, all right, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And it's a better thing to say, I don't know what you're doing, Lord. But this is what I'm going to do. Wherever you go, Lord, I'm going to go. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to say. I'm going to follow you, O Lord God. I'm going to pray what you pray, as the song sings.
Amen.
And I'd rather be that person in the kingdom and say, I'm available. And I don't even know what for, Lord, but whatever it is, Lord, I'm available. Amen. And so whatever that space is that needs to be filled afresh, I'm going to say, glory to God, Lord, you fill it. Hallelujah. Because it's more of the incarnation of the person of Christ that's coming within me so that I may deliver him out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Advent is this time of waiting to fill a space within me and within you that God wants to fill afresh or anew. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I love that. So my message today, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 42. We'll be in the Gospel of Luke. I will not keep you long. Glory to God. So my message is one thing or one person. What is God going to use to touch that point in your soul, in your spirit man, that's going to refresh, restore, revive, cause the fires of God to burn afresh again or anew? Hallelujah. So what is the one thing? What is the one thing that is needful? Hallelujah. And in Luke chapter 10, it says in verse 39, a very familiar passage to all of us. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And one translation says that she was hanging on every word that Jesus said. Are we hanging on every word that Jesus says? Are we hearing every word that Jesus said? My ears sometimes get a little cloudy, and I don't hear what I'm supposed to hear. God, open my ears that I may hear, and that I may hang on every word that Jesus says. Glory to God. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.
Amen.
That one thing she chose was to sit there and hang on every word. You see, sometimes we get so involved with doing and activities that we think we are being needed in the activities that we are doing, but actually the thing that we are becoming needful, or we think that is needful, needs to be replaced by something that is more needful. And we neglect the one thing that is needful. That's probably how I want to say it. We neglect the thing that is really needful by being so needed in these other activities that we forget the thing that is most needful. And that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I don't want to ever get so busy and active, even in the things of the kingdom, that I don't have time to sit in the presence of the Lord. Even when I'm sitting in the presence, have you sat in the presence of the Lord and it seems like, all right, where did he go? Where is the Lord? I don't know where you went. And it's not just one day, it's like 2 days, 3 days, a week, a month, a year. Where are you, Lord? I'm not hearing you, Lord, but you know what? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to hang on you. I'm going to believe that the one thing, whatever it may be, you're going to do something in our lives that's going to spark us afresh again.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
The presence of Jesus in the house of Martha and Mary and sitting with him is needful. Mary chose the good part. And I love what it says. It says, and it will not be taken from her. Glory to glory we go. Faith to faith we go. And I thought about this. I was just kind of like hanging out there for a while. Will not be taken away from her. So that means to me that all the things that we have received from the Lord will never be taken away from us. But it doesn't mean that we have to stay in that one place. We can go forward and go on in a way that might be new and strange and different to us. But it doesn't mean that whatever God has put in us, trust me, it is there forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is there for eternity. Hallelujah. But you might get up and move on in a new way, in a different way. Why? Because we're going to meet the Christ in a new way. We're going to see more of him. I want to see more of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we go from glory to glory in his presence. And nothing is taken from us, but it's added to. So whatever that space is in this waiting season, I want God to fill it. And here's the key. Is that you don't know how it's going to come, but you just need to be willing, choose to follow him, and then receive. It's choice and receiving. So this is my experience. I've been in a really dry time only because of change and transition, and that's fine because I'm seeing God in a new way,
yes.
And I'm trusting him. See, it demands trust. It requires trust. When God starts to move things and take all of the things you think you're doing so good for the kingdom. And they are. They are. They are. But he always wants to take us deeper, as we sang. So my girlfriend, or a sister in the Lord, love her so much, she invited me to a Bible study. And it was by a particular teacher, woman, who I'm not particularly thrilled with. She has a heavy Texas accent. She talks a lot. She's, you know. So every time I see her on television or whatever, I always like switch her off. So I'm just being honest. So, you know, I think, so she said to me, oh, we're going to do this video, and it's on the book of Revelation. So she said, it's 11 weeks. Would you like to come to my church every Thursday morning? And this is the teacher on the video. So I said, and I just felt from the Lord that he said, step in, don't think about it. Step in the water and walk. Step in the water, get your ankles wet, fresh and new, ankles wet again. Just go for it. So I said, okay, we'll go. I'll go. Okay, go. All right, so I go, and the video starts, and she starts to teach. She was so fabulous. The whole 11 weeks, I couldn't get enough of it. It was, there was something about her passion for the Lord. There was something about her fire for the kingdom of God. There was something about her love for Jesus. Her love of the word. There was something about her that all of a sudden I felt like in my inner man, deep within my inner man, a flame started and an excitement for the kingdom of God and a new hearing of the Lord. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, just follow me. He said, and you'll never know. I will surprise you. I will surprise you as you are waiting on me, because that's what we're doing. We're waiting for more of the Lord. Advent is like a season of 4 weeks, but I want you to know, beloved, that we are in a season of waiting and anticipation all the time for that new thing that God is going to do in our lives and in our midst. Yes. Glory to God. And he says, just step out, he says, and you will not know how I will surprise you, how I will touch you, how I will revive you. And I'm here this morning to tell you this. And if you leave with anything else, other than all the good stuff that already happened, of course, but if you leave from my sermon with anything else but this, it's a good thing, and that is God can use one person, one worship service, one teacher, one preacher, one prophetic word. And maybe 5 years, 6 years, 6 months, whatever it may be, he can just have one thing available for you that can ignite something. And there, that space that was empty is filled afresh and anew. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there is a new life.
Amen.
For whatever it is, whatever the next thing is in the Lord. Glory to God. And so it's a choice to hear God say, go, walk, go. It's okay, go. I don't want to go. Go. All right. I'll go. And now I want to write her. I want to text her. I want to whatever it is, like whatever you do today on the computer thingy. I want to say, you don't know what you've done. You have revived me. You have stirred me. I'm in love with your love for Jesus. I'm in love with your passion for Jesus. Hallelujah. You never know how it's going to come. But now here's a key. Luke chapter 1. Verse 8. Now you know that all Israel, in the beginning of chapter Luke, they're waiting for the Messiah. They're looking for the consolation to come. And in verse 8, it says this, so it was that Zacharias, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, and Matthew Henry says this, it was his week of waiting. Isn't that interesting? I did not know that. You knew that. I hear yes. Yeah, it's called his week of waiting. Now, you know, Zacharias' name means Lord, the Lord remembers. And how is that for a play on words? And here he is, a week of waiting. This is his service. And you probably know that to burn the incense in the temple, you had to be of the priesthood order. You had to be a priest. And you drew a lot, so you didn't know when your time was, but you drew your lot, and that was the week that you served. It may never happen again. It might have been the only time that Zacharias was able to serve in this capacity. And so here he is in his week of waiting. Hallelujah. And he says, verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. The Lord has shown grace. Just stay there for a while. Can you imagine every time Zacharias' name is mentioned? They're declaring, the Lord will remember. The Lord will remember Israel. The Lord remembers Israel. The Lord remembers you and Elizabeth. You'll have a child. The Lord will remember America. The Lord will heal the land. The Lord will remember Israel today. The Lord will remember. Every time Zacharias was mentioned, that was what was declared. The Lord remembers. And beloved, we need to hear that. The Lord remembers you and your situations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But wait. If we have to wait, we will wait with joy and anticipation and hope. But the Lord will remember. And then you'll have a son, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and his name is John. The Lord has shown grace. Can you imagine? I don't know. I just get stuck there. I just get stuck. The Lord has shown grace. John, grace. John, the favor of the Lord. John. And this is who is going to prepare the way of the Lord. In 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Verse 17, he will also go before in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what Advent is. It is the preparing of that place in my heart for more of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Hallelujah. And then he says, but you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in your own time. I had a little visitation of a woman from Texas, so to speak, with her teaching for 11 weeks, and it just got me so excited again. He has a visitation from an angel. I don't know about you. If I had a visitation from an angel, especially Gabriel, come on. We're talking serious angels. Big angel. He's up there in the ranks. But he doesn't believe. Zacharias doesn't believe. And I think that this is one of the cautions that we must have, that Zacharias can be so busy with his rituals, traditions, activities, doing everything that is right in the order of the legalism of the Jewish people and the law, that when you get a visitation from God, from an angel, you can miss it. So as we wait on the Lord, we cannot have an expectation of how this visitation or this filling in is going to happen. We just have to say, Lord, here I am. And so what happens to Zacharias is that his mouth gets closed. In Isaiah chapter 55, it says this. The whole chapter, 55, read it, meditate on it. It's just fabulous. But in verse 8, it says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent. Now, I know that God's mind and ways are far above ours. But I also know this, and I believe this, that God wants to bring us into his thoughts. He wants to bring us into his ways. He wants to bring us to that place that is higher than where we are walking. He wants to give us opportunity to know him in a new and a deeper way and understand his heart. I want to have a hearing heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God desires to bring us up. It's not that he wants to keep, he's so holy and private that he doesn't want to share with us, but he does, for he shared his own son with us. Hallelujah. And so Zacharias, his mouth is shut for those 9 months. And my thought is, better God shut my mouth that I say something in opposition to his plan and his purpose. Better my mouth be closed. You know, Jezebel, do you remember good old Jezebel? And we often talk about the spirit of Jezebel. And what Jezebel always wanted to try to do or attempted to do was to shut the mouth of the prophets so that the word of the Lord would not go forth. I thought about that with France and Paris and how all those horrible murders happened. And I said, prayed, I said, Lord, please let the ministers go out in the street and declare the name of Jesus. Let the preachers go into the highways and the byways in Paris and declare the name and the life of the King of Kings and the Lord, because you know that Jesus is the desire of the nations. Let us declare the name of God in America. Let us not shut up, because Jezebel is trying to shut us up. But I'd rather be shut up if I'm in disagreement with what God is saying. Lord, fill my mouth that I may be in agreement with you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Lord. And so, Zacharias missed an opportunity to say yes at that moment. But God is great and will still have his way. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we know that he finally gets to a place where they say to him, well, what is going to be the name of your son when Elizabeth gives birth? And they said, oh, some are saying Zacharias because that's the father's name. And he says, no. And then Elizabeth, John, it's going to be John. And Zacharias then comes into full agreement with the purpose of God. Yes. And he nods his head and said, yes, it is John. And with that, his mouth is opened. And there is a new song in Zechariah's mouth. He has a new word in him, a new song. And it's called the Benedictus, which when you're in the Catholic Church or you're in the convent, you know what happens. You say the Benedictus. You say the Magnificat. It's part of your morning prayers and your evening prayers. Hallelujah. And he says this in verse 76 of 1. Now, in verse 67, and now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, what a difference. Verse 76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God with which the Messiah or dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our way in the way and to guide our feet into the way of peace. What a difference. What a difference coming in alignment and agreement with that plan that seems to be so far above us, that seems to be so impossible. But with God, there is nothing impossible. And when we come in alignment and agreement with him, this is what happens. We sing a new song. And as Pastor Roy says all the time, we all have a song in us. We have to sing that song. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Something a little bit different. We have the servant Mary, a young girl. She has a one thing. She has a one moment too. She has a one visitation, one moment in her life changes humanity, changes history. Glory to God. And her response in verse 38, at this one moment, this one thing, this one visitation, she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, as much as it is a miracle, and we know that she is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit to conceive Jesus, and we know that that is an amazing miracle, a God thing. And as much as the conception, I want to make sure I make this clear, as much as the conception is miraculous and divine, I seem to be taken up with the content more than the conception. And by that I mean this, in verse 31, this is what it's all about. More than, greater than the miracle itself, a conception, this to me is what we need to view and see, because it's always going to be about the exaltation of Christ. It's always going to be about the plan of Father God. And this is what it's all about. This is what the conception is all about. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." And you know today, for the most part, no one has the name Jesus. I mean, there are certain cultures that definitely do that. I understand that. But we know that if anyone named their child Jesus, would be like, "Oh, what are you doing? You can't do that. Gee, there's only one. There's only one. You can't name your child Jesus." I mean, it's like, "Oh, Jesus? Don't you know?" Jesus' name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. His name shall be called Jesus. Mary, it's not about you. You had a very important part, and you are humble, and you will be remembered, and you will be honored. We will never take that away from her. Absolutely never. Honor her, absolutely. Oh my goodness. But it's about the name above every name. Verse 32. You should, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, these like 7 things or 8 things about Jesus. So it says his name will be Jesus. He will be great. No one like him. He will be called the Son of God, the firstborn, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Of the highest, not just any son, but he's the Son of God, the Son of the highest. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord God will give him his throne. He will have a throne forever. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end, eternal. This, Mary, is what it's all about. This is the plan of God. See it. Take hold of it. Declare it. And with each time we wait on the Lord in our seasons of Advent, not just December, you hear what I'm saying? In our seasons of anticipation. And we say, "Lord, I need more of this. There's a space here I need you to fill. I need more of you, Lord." Well, we do not understand the risk that is involved with what he's going to do to fill that space. If Mary probably really knew in great detail, but I just think she had just had such a moment of grace and faith and favor on her. She was just, even if she knew, I think she still would have said, "Be it done unto me according to your word." That's my thought. But the risk that's involved. May we be a people that say, I don't care what the risk is. I want to sit at your feet. If my sister Martha is going to mock me and laugh at me because I'd rather sit at your feet, it's okay, Lord. I want the one thing. I want the one person. I want the one visitation. And I'm not going to try to project how that's going to happen. I just want to wait for the Lord to fill me to overflowing. Psalm 23, I know that's very familiar to all of us. I've just been meditating on the whole psalm. I say it every night. But the last verse, verse 6, says this: surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Think about that. The goodness of the Lord is running after you. The mercy of the Lord is running after you. It's following after you. The surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And it's not only running after you, but where you go and what you do and where you walk, it's trailing behind you like a wedding gown. It's just following you so that other people can step into that river, as we sang about this morning. Will step into that river of the goodness and the mercy of God, that they may have a taste of it. So while the rest of the world is hating, you're walking with the Lord and you're saying, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord is just trailing behind me, glory to God, and someone is going to taste of it and know that God is good, that Father is good. He's a good, good God. But then it says this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
And another translation of that word dwell is return. And that just struck me. And I said to myself, Lord, I will return, and I will return, and I will return, and I will return, and I will return. And I will return to the house of the Lord. I will return and wait at your feet. I will return and say, once again, there's a part of me that needs more of Christ. I will return to the house of the Lord and say, Lord, fill me once again. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, there will be someone that will look at you and say, one of my favorite scriptures, as we return to the house of the Lord, as we wait in his presence, as he fills us up again in that empty space, and it's empty no more. The visitation of Christ in me, the visitation of Christ in you, your hope of glory. Someone will look at you and me and say, who is this that's coming up out from the wilderness, leaning her head upon her beloved? And they will say, but I knew you when you were under the apple tree with your mother. I knew you years ago. I remember you when you were first born. I know who you are. But now, who are you? Who is this coming up out of that place of waiting, out of the place of the wilderness, out of that place of waiting on God? Who is this with your head leaning on your beloved? Hallelujah. We'll be new, evermore reflecting the incarnation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Father, I pray that this Advent season would become not just a time of 4 weeks, but it would become a lifestyle in us, O God. I pray that we would begin to see whatever empties places in our heart, not as something that is negative, but it would be that which would cause us to run to you and sit at your feet, so that you may fill us afresh. And may we have ears to hear and eyes to see whatever your plans are, that we can say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Bless us, O Father, I do pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah.